All right, let's learn something over here. We're going here tonight. Solo. Private lesson. Mr. Goldberg is going to teach me. He's going to teach me the Gemara, Masechta Nedarim, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. This is my Rebbe. His name is Gold. Goldberg. Like an iceberg. But instead of the ice, this gold. Zahav. Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. It says at the top of the page, Boy Avimi. Avimi has the following question. Did you by any chance know Avimi? Did you know Avimi? Maybe we'll Gilgulim. Maybe once upon a time we live in that generation, we know him. Maybe you're Avimi. Maybe you were Avimi in a previous lifetime. Boy Avimi. Let's say a person makes a neder. I'm not going to walk into this bias. A person says about his own property. Okay, he has property, he has a house, and he says, "You so and so, I don't like you. I don't want you to ever walk into my house." Person says, the Reuven says, "I don't want so and so to ever step foot in my house, and I prohibit his entry into my home with a neder." And the bayis should be forbidden to him like a konam. Konam means a korban. Konam is the same word for a korban. So here is Reuven. Reuven makes a statement. There's a fellow I don't like. I don't like him. I don't want him to ever walk into my home. I make a neder that my property should be off limits to him with a konam. We want to welcome to the Bet Midrash Mr. Aaron Rappaport. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Daf is Right. I know the answer to every question tonight. You're going to win a prize. We're going to send you on a prize to another, to the Caribbean cruise where you get a free microwave. We just have these strange rewards on the prizes, right? That show is still on? Is that show still on? I can't hear you on mute.
I got a secret. I don't think it's on.
They're probably all dead. Everyone probably is dead already, all those people here.
Yeah. Let me get my Gemara. I was just learning with my granddaughter's learning Gemara with me.
Ah, excellent. Why not?
She's learning how to down.
Okay. Excellent. Maybe she can teach us something. Maybe she can come give the shir for us.
Well, I learned what Vasikin means now. Now I know exactly what Vasikin means.
Vasikin means people that are Vasik, people that are humble, right? Humble, that want devoted people who want to come learn Torah early, who want to do Hashem's Ratzon. People that are devoted. All right. So over here, what's the case? So the case over here is the person wants to make a neder that so and so is not allowed to draw benefit from my house. Reuven makes a neder that Shimon may not walk into his house. And then what happens? Reuven goes to a better place. Reuven leaves this world. Reuven perishes. He goes to the next world. So what's the shal? Shal over here is, can Shimon, who he made the neder may not draw benefit from his house, is Shimon now allowed? Is Shimon now allowed to come into Reuven's house? That's the question. Koinam Lubayze Shato Nichnas. Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, you may not come to my house. Mace. Reuven dies. Oy Shemachor Liachar. Let's say Reuven sells his house to somebody else. Reuven disappears. He goes and he sells his house. So the question is Shimon allowed to go into that house? What's the Gemara Shaila? So the Gemara Shemachor Liachar. Mahu, what is the halacha? So the Gemara presents the dilemma. Adam oyser davar shabirushusoy lichashe yetze mirushusoy oyloy. Does a person have the power to prohibit his property even when it leaves his rishus? Right now the bayis is in his possession. Right now he has the power, the authority. He has the power, the authority to issue a prohibition upon his house. Does his power in making the neder extend, is it so potent that he's able to prohibit the bayis even when the bayis leaves his rishus? How far does it go? Okay, that's a dilemma. Adam oyser davar shabirushusoy lichashe yetze mirushusoy oyloy. Okay, so the person right now, he has the house. So right now, he has the ability to prohibit the house at this moment, because I'm the owner of the Baal HaBayis. But does my authority, does it go so far where I have the ability to continue its prohibition to so-and-so even after the bias leaves my possession? How will the bias leave the possession of Reuven? One of two ways. Reuven dies, or Reuven sells it to somebody else. That's the Gemara's dilemma. Okay, you hear the question? It's a very powerful question. What power do you have when you make a neder? It's an incredible, the Gemara's Hava Amina is incredible. The Gemara's Hava Amina is that you should have power to create a prohibition upon your assets, relating to somebody else, even after your assets are no longer in your possession. That's a very unusual concept. It's a very unusual concept, you know, like in secular, there's like being grandfathered in, like a matzah maker fact. You probably know these things, all the different issues. Your grandfather, like, let's say, an old car. There's an old car. Let's say you have a Model T car. Do you have to have blinkers on the Model T car? No, it's grandfathered in. Since the car was illegal, you're allowed to drive this car. Chveisnish never would have existed. So even though today, if you have a car today that was made in 2005.
In those days,
you don't need to have a blinkers. Stick your hand outside, exactly. So if you have
put it up, then it's a right turn.
If you have a car that was made in the year 2010 and the blinker is not working, it's not going to pass inspection. Because this car in 2010, it was supposed to have blinkers. And if the blinker does not work, it will not pass inspection. But if you have a car from the year 1930, it didn't have blinkers. So there's no, it's grandfathered in. So you can be able to be oymed, it has a different set of rules. Zelbazach, a person has a house, he makes a neder. The neder prohibits someone else from deriving benefit from his property. I have a house, my fellow Shimon is not allowed to derive benefit from that. Reuven's owned the house, Reuven says Shimon not derive benefit from the house. And now Reuven dies. And now the house goes Birusha to Reuven's children. Or Reuven sells the house to Levi. So it's not my house anymore. Question, do we say the house is grandfathered in? Since the prohibition of the house was chal, when Reuven was alive, that prohibition remains in effect, even though Reuven, the one that created the prohibition, is no longer present. A tremendous chiddush in the din of nedarim. Mr. Rappel, you with me? You hear the chiddush?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, it's a tremendous chiddush in the koyach of Odaf Mim Zayin Amar Aleph. Boy, I'll read the Gemara with a boy of Yimim. Koinim l'bayu zeh sh'ato nechnas. Reuven makes a ned. Reuven says to Shimon. Shimon, I make a
call.
Mim Zayin. Mim Zayin Amud Aleph. Reuven makes a ned. Reuven says, Koinam bayis ze lebayis ze sha'ata nichnas. Reuven says that Shimon may not have hanor from this bias. Nace, Reuven dies. Oh, Shemachor Eliyachi, Reuven sells it. Mahu, practically, what is halacha? Do we say that the prohibition continues to the next generation? Mahu, do we say, Adam oyser davar shebirushusa lichesha yetze mirushusa? Once a person has a koyach to create a prohibition upon the bias, the prohibition remains even when it leaves rishus, oyloy or not. That's the Gemara's dilemma. So the Gemara says, "Oh my Rava, let's bring an answer to the question." Tashma, Haimel ben Oy, a person says to his son, "Koinam shiato neneli." Okay, you have a family feud, domestic dispute. A father says to his son, "My son, I want to make a koinam that you should not derive pleasure from me." And then the father dies. Does the son inherit the assets of the father? By the son inheriting the assets of the son is deriving pleasure from the father. However, the father is no longer alive. How long does the prohibition that the father puts upon his son, does it remain in effect? What? Oh, so you're asking a very good question. Let's put aside why is this sugi relevant? Why is that shaila relevant? Why don't we deal with the question that you're now going to do something to connect the Torah? He's saying that there's a mitzvah deraisa to be moirish. Memela, your neder is in violation, going against the Torah. First of all, the question: who says it's a mitzvah? Who says taka that there's a mitzvah of being moirish assets to the children? Maybe the din of Yerusha is if there are assets, then memela the children get the assets. Who says there's a mitzvah? It's just a mitzias. And if the mitzvah doesn't exist, or let's say you want to prevent it, so then, look, the Gemara says that it's a curse for a person to leave this world of money and to give over Yerush to his children. Because that means that you worked in this world harder than you should have. A person should only work what he needs. A person works and accumulates enormous wealth, and then he dies, so he was never nene from Yigiyas Kapoy. So this time that he spent working for that money, could have spent doing avodas Hashem. He could have spent doing, which is a very difficult question, because why is that not called avodas Hashem? Earning an honest dollar probably is the highest level of avodas Hashem. You know, to learn daf Gemara and to drink coffee and to walk around, you know, that's who says you're doing it l'shma, to earn an honest dollar, to go out into the world and to work just to earn honest money. Isn't that the highest form of avodas Hashem? I would think so. Yet the Gemara says, you have to know what the case of the Gemara is if a person leaves this world and has money in the bank, it's a curse. It means you wasted time in this world. You could have used the time that you worked to earn that assets, you could have used that time better. Again, I don't know what the case is. It's very hard to understand that Gemara, especially in the modern world, obviously. But theoretically, think about it theoretically, there is such a concept. And if a person works, and is not nene from his effort, and doesn't retire and do what he wants to do, you know, in the golden years, you know, all that type of flowery stuff that they make believe on the radio, it's a curse. Why is it a curse? You became the mitzvah deraisa of Yerusha. The Tarot says, whoever said there's a mitzvah deraisa of Yerusha? Whoever said? Maybe the Yerusha is, if a person happens to have money left over, so maybe there are certain rules of Yerusha. B'mokoyim sheyesh bein, ein lebas klum. A person has a son, the girls get nothing. Now today, you know, they make this thing called a living will, right? So where they redistribute all the money, however it works, and there are people who do this. It's interesting because who do this, who make these arrangements, who give out all the money equally to all their children, whatever they want to go do, but they leave over on purpose a small amount of money, a very small amount of money, upon which the dinim de'araisa should be niskayim. So if they'll have sons, the daughter should get nothing. And if they have a bechor, the bechor should get double. They'll leave over $100. $100, the person has 10 children, and he has, whatever the case is, and he has a daughter. So all of it, let's say the guy, a person is a multimillionaire. So he doesn't want to go give, so whatever the reasons are, he wants to give, he wants all of his money to be distributed equally to all of his children. Right, so there are all these techniques today. The Agudah, the RCA, they have all these techniques of how you go and you give away after death all of your money, however you want to give it away. Fine. Yeah. You want to give your daughters, you want to give, you don't want to give a pishnayim, do whatever you want to go do, gezuntahit. Okay, so you avoid pishnayim, you gave away the money the way you want to give it away. However, there are many people today that when they do these type of wills, they leave over, let's say, $100. And on that $100, I have a son. Even though I have 20 daughters, the daughters, or else I have a few sons, the daughters get nothing. And then I have one of my sons is a bechor. Oh, he should get pishnayim from that $100. Shalei tishtakach toiras yirusha. In order that the halacha, you should have a token kiyum of the halacha. You should not forget there's something called the bechora, pishnayim. There's something called the mokom sheyesh ben in lebasklom. So at least on a small amount of money, on $100, it should be niskayim the din deraisa. But on the rest of the money, on the rest of the millions of dollars, all the assets, all the property, all no, that That we live in America. In America, we do things different. We distribute it equally. So, Mr. Rapport, the question is, you have a very good question. If it's talking true that there is, like I'm trying to suggest, that there is no din d'oraisa of Yerusha, and the din of Yerusha is just stamazoi in an event where there is money left over, then you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put your phone in your chest because there's radiation coming out of that phone. Even though it's very, very small, it's very, very small radiation, and hopefully, no one really knows, no one knows. But the mamish put it against your chest, where your heart is, it's scary to me. I want you to live forever. I don't want any sekas. I don't know. I really don't know any of this stuff.
You don't want me to leave any of the rushes.
I don't know this stuff. It's truth. I live with this the whole day. I feel like I'm living in a nuclear facility. But I get scared when I see people do this. They put it in their chest. I get scared. What? You know what I mean? I get scared. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know anything. Okay, so this is so different. My question is the question over here is, if this taka true, if there is no din of Yerusha Daraisa, so why do you need to leave over $100? Why? It's very common. You go to these people, and I know someone who goes and he's a witness. He lives next door to a estate lawyer. And a lot of people come to him for like these Jewish living wills to the estate lawyer. And he always asks his neighbor, can you do me a toiva? Come in and be a witness and sign. So I think a lot of these wills he told me they do is they leave over a very, very small amount of money, a teeny amount of money, to be in this Shalei Tishtakach Toiras Yerusha Mi Yisrael. Should not be forgotten the laws, the biblical laws. The Mokim Sheyesh Bain Ein Lebas Klum. There's something called Pishnayim. Is there anything else I have to know about that? I don't know. So, if it's taka true that there's no mitzvah d'oraisa of Yerusha, so why do you need to leave over even one red cent? Every single penny should be equally distributed according to whatever the person wants to write in his will. So I don't know the answer. Maybe there. So therefore, but you're asking a very good question. If there is taka din d'oraisa, so then how can neder bichal? Your neder is going up against the din d'oraisa of Yerusha. I don't know the answer. So let's put that aside for now. And let's assume it's not a problem. So here we have a hechatim. So a person says to someone else, a person says, I make a neder. I have a person has a son, and he does not see eye to eye with his son. They don't get along. So the father says to the son, I make a neder that you're not allowed to derive benefit from any of my assets. The father dies. Question, does the child inherit the father? The answer is yes. So what do you see from that? You learn from that the father does not have the ability to prohibit his assets after they're no longer his. When a person leaves this world, all of his assets are no longer his. Did you ever go to a funeral and following the hearse, did you ever see following the hearse a boring struck? Did you ever see that before? I once saw it. I mamish once saw it.
What?
A hearse going, and behind the hearse there was a Brinks. You know what a Brinks truck is? A Brinks truck? They transport cash.
Oh.
The banks, they come to the banks, they fill up the ATM machines. These Brinks, they come with weapons in these armored vehicles. So I once saw going behind the hearse was a Brinks truck.
No.
In other words, the guy was taking his money with him. Was taking the
joke about to the next world. To the next world.
What?
And he never paid it, but he put a check in the coffin.
When the person leaves this world, the money is no longer his. He dispossesses his assets. Mamel, if a person dispossesses his assets, it's no longer his money. So that no longer. So now the son is allowed to derive benefits.
Unless you want to get the einish that I'm getting for doing it, we're mixing in. You'll get that einish.
Toshma.
You did a very good job for yourself. Now you get my einish. There's the einish. Very good. Thank you for taking part in the einish.
Toshma. Ha'omer.
Now it's
Koinam. Koinam. Shiat and Enali.
I really appreciate it.
And then the person dies.
Why?
Yerushenu. So the halacha is the son indeed does inherit the father. Now look at the next line. The next line though is b'chayav uvim moisai. But let's say the father explicitly says, I do not want my child to have benefit from my assets, not in my lifetime, and not after death. Then umes lo yerushenu. Then the child indeed does not inherit the father. Because by inheriting the father, he'll be having pleasure from the assets. So what do you learn from this halacha? That a person does have the ability, if he doesn't say, he just says stam, you don't have a hanor, then I guess we have to see him before you assume that he only meant to prohibit the chayav. But when he says, liachamisa, when he says explicitly liachamisa, indeed the son is not allowed to have pleasure liachamisa. Shema Amino, what do we learn from this? Adam oisa davar, sheber reshusar, lichashayetze mirishusar. A person has the ability to prohibit someone from deriving pleasure from him even after he dies. Shema Amino, unbelievable. That's the Gemara's maskana. Right, so this is a tremendous chiddush, this Gemara. Mr. Goldberg, why are you smiling?
I'm thinking about the one time, you know, in the news, said that a cat, you know, inherited like, you know, something like a, you know, a very big Yerusha. I don't know how the cat can have, you know, a bank account.
So what happened?
I don't know. I don't remember all the details. You know,
there's a famous story where a person was driving and he had to go to the Beis HaKissei. And it was really, really desperate. And he pulled off onto the side, neck close exit, and he found a funeral home. And he went into the Beis HaKissei, the funeral home. On the way out, there was a book open, you know, one of those books, there was a place, I don't know, there was a wake, a place, I don't know. So he figured, I came here to do my thing. The least I can do is pay my respects. True story. And he wrote down his name, The next day or a week later, he gets a call from a lawyer that he's the yoyrish of an enormous amount of money. The person wrote in his will that all of his money should be divided by the people who signed the funeral book. If they care enough to come to my funeral to sign their name in the funeral book, it's kedai, they should have a chelik of my money. And this guy was like one of the only people who came and signed, and he only came there because he had to go to the bathroom.
The second church is not saying that.
So if ever since I heard that story, every time I go to a funeral and there's a book,
I saw.
By the Hamish Oilam, they don't have the book. But by a little more modern, they have the book. They do have the book. I've been to a lot of times they have the book. A lot of times I've gone to they have the book. They have now, you know what's very common when they have now? By bar mitzvahs. Even like yeshiva bar mitzvahs, they have the book. These kids and all their friends on their friends on, like even real black adders, they have the book by a bar mitzvah.
Have the picture.
Or, yeah, the all different types of zaken. Yeah. All different types. Even by the real Haredi bar mitzvah, they do this. Okay. Shema Amino. Okay, so this is an incredible chiddush. Next piece of Gemara. Tanan Hossam. New Gemara. Koinam Peirus Elu Alai. New case. A person says, I want to prohibit the deeds Peirus upon myself. Koinam Heim Al Pi. Give an example. I want them to be asked to my mouth. Koinam Heim Al Pi. Koinam Lippi. Okay, so just give an example. Either it says a lie, or alpi, or lippi. Okay, these are the nuances which we're not going to dwell upon. So what is the halacha? Here comes the chiddush. This is a very big chiddush, big sugya. The halacha is osur bichilu feihen uvigidu lehen. Let's say someone takes these peiros and you sell it. Let's say you buy stock. Right, you have stock. This stock is osur to me. You sell the assets, you sell it, and you buy another stock. You have assets. You have assets. and you sell it, and with the money you buy something else. Do we say that the prohibition of the neder is so powerful that it extends to the chiluf, to the object that is now in exchange for the original object? Well, let's say you prohibit seed, and you then take the seed and you plant it in the ground, and it grows. I prohibit this apple, and I take the apple and I plant it in the ground, and lo and behold, you come back a couple of years later and you have a whole orchard full of trees from your apple. Do we say that all of those trees become prohibited because we're going to prohibit not just the object itself, even the chiluf and the gidul? Okay, so this is the kasim type of shayla. These are very lomish shaylas. Masechta Nedarim is probably the most lomish masechta in the whole Shas. These questions are very, very deep questions. Okay, so just the previous question was, do you have the koyach to prohibit upon someone your assets even after you're no longer alive? The Gemara says, yeah, it's a pella, mamash a pella. A person can say, right now, I'm the owner of this. I'm the owner, I can prohibit this object upon someone else. And the object remains prohibited, even if I sell it to somebody. What do you mean, once I sell it, it's no longer my berushus? No.
Even put into the rush.
Grandfathered in. Once I have the koyach to prohibit it, it's also to this person, no matter whose ownership it is, I sell to someone else, I'm no longer the balabas. Once it kicks in, it kicks in. Why not? It's mine. No, I'm the owner. I own this. I'm allowed to have hana. I just make a neder that so-and-so is not allowed to have hana. I make a neder that Reuven is not allowed to have hana. What?
That was a previous
case. I went back for a moment to the previous case. No, right now we have a new case, right? So this. I know. I just told you about. I just for a moment reviewed the previous case. Correct. We just discussed now the new case. Now we're up to the new case. The new case is where I prohibit this upon myself. It's a new case. I prohibit this upon me. Question: If I then. So how am I able to sell it? No, I'm not having hana. I'm just exchanging it.
In other words, it's
that's not called hana.
What does it bring from taste?
Yes, good question. If I can't have hana, how then do I have the power to exchange it for another object? I hear your question. It's a very long question. If I am not allowed to derive any pleasure from this cup, how then is it even possible for me to exchange it for another cup? For another asset, because by exchanging it, if I can't have hana l'chayra, I no longer have any shlita over it. Part of the hana, either you'll say it's a hana to be able to exchange it, or maybe not. But how do I have power to even make the exchange? I hear your question. I don't know the answer. Let's assume for the moment that it's not called a hana. Prohibiting yourself from deriving pleasure does not mean that you relinquish ownership of the object. I still own it. And I still have the ability to exchange it. Okay, so I own this object. The object is worth $100. I take it to the market, and in the market, there's a service, they exchange it for another object worth $100. And I'm not getting any pleasure. I'm not even touching it. I'm not getting any pleasure. It's an exchange. Now, they bring me back the new object. Am I allowed to draw benefits of the new object? The new object is a different object. So that's the question. Number two, let's say it's seed. I prohibit upon myself these fruits, and there are seeds in the fruit, and I plant this fruit. I plant the seeds, and it grows. Am I allowed to derive benefit from the gidulehen? That's the Gemara's question. One more time, the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question over here is, Nachem al Amar of Toshma, no, Tznanosam. Koinam. No, we didn't even learn the Gemara yet. We haven't been saying it. Let's read the Gemara one more time. Tan also. Koinam. Wait. All right. Tan also. Okay, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Okay, let's start this part of the Gemara one more time. Tanosam. Koinam Paris Ha'elu Alai. Koinam Hein Alpi. Koinam Hein Lipi. So it's a statement. Okay, that's the halacha. There's no shayla. This is not a shayla. This is a halacha psuka. also bechilu feihem uvegidu lehem. It is categorically forbidden. Okay, there is no discussion here. It is also. Are we good? Now, boy, Rav Chama, I have a shaila. Omar koylem peres oilu al ploini mahu bechilu feihem bechilu feihem. Now comes the more shaila. Let's say I want to prohibit this object upon my friend. And then I take the object and I sell it. And I exchange it for something else. Is the chiluf going to be osur to my friend? We just concluded before that you're allowed, that you have the power to prohibit the object even when it's no longer in your rishus. Now we know. Question, what about the exchange? If I exchange it for something else, do we say that since this new object is a derivative, it is in the place of the original object, is it going to be osur? Is it going to be osur off limits to that creature, to that person? Now think about this. I want to ask you a crazy question, a really crazy question idea to illustrate this point. Crazy idea. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. Mr. Goldberg, I know you listen every day to 5 shiurim on all daf. I guarantee you none of the magidim on all daf, not Eli, not Sruli, and not Chol HaNilvim Olav. I'm going to say this. Erev Yom Kippur, what do? Kaparis. You take money, or you take a chicken, or a fish, and you say, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tumurasi, Zeh HaKesef, Zeh Tarnagol, Zeh HaDog, Yelech Litztok, V'ani, Ekones, V'chayim, Toy Maruchim. Okay, now what exactly is the purpose? What is the purpose over here of kaparis? Exchange. It's a Kabbalistic concept. According to one of the approaches, it is the bird. It should die instead of me. Maybe Chas v'Shalom is a gzeira min hashamayim. There should be misa. So you know what? Ze chalifasi, ze tumurasi. Zehatarnigal, Yelech, Lemisa, whatever you say, Yelech, Litztaka, whatever, really somehow, different gears, whatever. It's me in my place. Let's say before Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, Tzadikim Gemurim, what does it say? Tzadikim Gemurim, Lichtavim, Lechayim, La'alta. Lashana Toiva, Tikoseva, Sechoseim, Lechayim, Toivim, Lasholem. What is it? Lashana Toiva, Tikoseva, Sechoseim, La'alta. Right. So let's say the person was zeches l'chayim toim u'l'sholem. The malach ha-moves has no shlita over you. Garnished. No shlita. Memele, when you do zech halifasi, there's no shlita over the chicken either.
No, so I think
the Gemara is saying, I told you it's a crazy example, but I want to illustrate the point. Over here, a person makes a neder. This object is also to my friend. Also. It's also. Now I go and I take this object to the market and I exchange it for something else of equal value. Question. Is the new object that I have exchanged it for, is it equally forbidden to my friend? Because the new object is just a replacement. It is an extension of the original object. Why don't you go look at the Malach HaMavis? The Malach HaMavis has no shlit over a person. So you go and say, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tumurasi.
Right?
How can you shachta now? How can you shachta?
According to the first term,
how could he go to Misa?
But if
the person was Zoycha to Chayim Toy Maluchim Ulusholim, and this chicken is now in my place, how can you set up a situation where there's going to be Shechita? My question doesn't make any sense. I'm just trying to illustrate the point is that that's the Marshal. Do we say that the Chiluf is going to be equally forbidden like the original? What's the halacha with regard to the exchange? Mi amrinan? Do we say gabi dilei hoil the adam oisa peros chaveroi alatzmai regarding yourself? regarding yourself, hoyl adam oyser peiros chaveroi al atzmai adam oyser davar shaloi bol yoylem al atzmai. Gabi chaveroi hoyl the ein adam oyser peiros chaveroi al chaveroi ein adam oyser davar shaloi bol yoylem al chaveroi. Now, the more you have to read a lot into the Gemara. The Gemara's question over here is, what's the shaila? When it comes to Hegdish, it's a davar pashut that you aser b'chilu fehem u'b'gidu lehem. If you amakdish something, you make something Hegdish, are you allowed to have hanor from the exchange? No. Are you allowed to have enough from the Gidulim? No. So, l'choira, a neder, is no different. Just like when a person makes a person's makdish, I would take an object, and I make this object hegdish. If I now do chiluf or gidul, the chiluf and the gidul is also. So when I go and I make a declaration that I want an object to be osur upon me, koinam, the person who says, koinam peros ha'elu al ploini, I go take my peros, and I say that I want my peros to be osur to so-and-so, Shimon may not derive pleasure from these peros, and now I go and this chiluf and this gidul, so l'choir it's the same thing like hegdish. Every neder is an extension to a degree of hegdish. The word koina means a korban. When you prohibit something upon your friend, you're to a large degree you're treating the object that becomes prohibited like a korban. So if I go and I make something hegdish, I can't have ano, my friend can't have ano. If he can't have ano and I can't have ano, hegdish it's aser and the chiluf and the gidul is aser. So if I make this object also to my friend as a koinam, as a neder, l'cho'eretz is el mezach. My friend can't have hanah from the object, and he also should not be able to have hanah from the chiluf and the gidul. The Gemara says, no, there's a very big difference. Mia minon gabe delay. When it comes to you, hoyel v'odom oyser peiros chaveri al atzmoi, Adam oyser davar shaloi bol li'olam al atzmai. You can prohibit the future because you can do to your things whatever you want. Nachmo, hoil since the Adam oyser peiros chaveri al atzmai. I have the power to prohibit my friend's peiros upon myself. Adam oyser davar shaloi bol li'olam al atzmai. I also can prohibit the chiluf, which davar shaloi bol li'olam, the chiluf and the gidul shaloi li'olam. But gabi chaveroi, if I'm making a neder to prohibit someone else from deriving benefit from my assets, hoil since the aim adam oyser peiros chaveroi al chaveroi. A neder gives me incredible power. Think about it. A neder gives me power to prohibit my assets upon another person. That's incredible. What right do I have to prohibit my assets upon somebody else? That's the din of a neder. But do I ever have the power to prohibit someone else's assets on someone else's assets? Never. I can go say, I'm going to say, you know, I'm making a neder. I'm saying, Mr. Rappaport, I'm making a neder, Mr. Rappaport, you may not derive pleasure from Mr. Goldberg. Mr. Rappaport may not derive pleasure from Mr. Goldberg. Can I do that? I wouldn't think. Well, I have the power to prohibit you from deriving benefit from me.
Right.
Okay.
What's the lumbus to say?
There is no lumbus. There is no lumbus. You're right. There is no lumbus. There is no lumbus. So look at it like you're right. There is no lumbus. So it's looking like this. So here's where it becomes an afkamina. If do I have the power to prohibit my object to you? Do I have that power? Do I have the power to prohibit leave Mr. Goldberg's property to you? No. Now, look at this. If I take this object that I have, which I prohibited to you, I did prohibit, and I exchange it was Mr. Goldberg's object. Mr. Goldberg has a different object that has the same exact value as my object, and I want to switch. Chiluf, I want to switch. So we're going to switch. So I'm going to take my object and give it to him. He's going to give what he has to me. So now I have now taken possession. In essence, what has happened now is I'm trying now, and I want to say that since I'm holding in my hand, what I'm holding in my hand is mine, and it's an exchange for what was mine originally, and that I had the power to prove it upon you. So this also prohibited you. But wait a minute. At the moment when I made my original prohibition, not allowing you to benefit from me, do you know where that other object was that would ultimately be transformed into what I have in my hand? It was at Mr. Goldberg. So when I made my neder, I had the power to prohibit this, but I had no power to prohibit you from deriving pleasure from Mr. Goldberg's object. Oh, so now the exchange takes place. So that's exactly the point. So we should say that it ends. It's over. It's over. You are permitted to have pleasure from the exchange. Number one, what I have is no longer my rishus. So we've learned like we were before that if you don't explicitly prohibit it after later on, it's gonna be mutter. And number two, what I've taken into my possession in exchange, it's too late for the issur to be chal upon it. Because where was it at the time when I made the prohibition? Where did it exist?
Was that a conditional clause that only things that are now in my possession?
No, you don't need any conditional clause. You don't need a conditional clause. Where was that object B? We'll call it object B, Mr. Goldberg. It was in Mr. Goldberg's possession. When I made the neder, did I have the power to prohibit you from deriving benefit from Mr. Goldberg's possession for object B? Of course not.
This
is. So now I've taken what's his. I've brought it into my possession in exchange for the original object, and I wanted to say alumnus is that the prohibition of what was actually prohibited because I owned it should now be transferred to object B because object B has come into my possession. Excuse me, object B is clear. Object B is not possible for it to become awesome. Because object B, when I made my neder, I had no shlita over object B. This Gemara is bringing up a big issue.
Who says we're restricting the issue of your property only to things that were there at the time?
So you're touching upon the
open-ended restriction. Anything that you now own,
That's a shrua. That's exactly the point of Masechta Nedarim. Masechta Nedarim, at the end of the day, always comes back to the object. There's a shavua and a neder. A shavua is on me and you. There's this connection, me versus you. This is mine. Anything that I now currently possess, is an extension of me. You cannot have pleasure from me. The object is secondary. Because the object is in my jurisdiction, it's under my banner, under my umbrella, it's an old nichlal me. A neder does not work like that. A neder always has to go down to the object. When I made a neder, my neder, I can only make a neder on objects that I own. I have no power to state you, Mr. Rappaport, are not allowed to have pleasure from Mr. Goldberg. I can't do that. Now I'm taking his property into my possession and I'm transferring a prior issur that was on this object. You have an object. It's a chalois on the object that it's awesome. And we're going to do a chiluf. Whatever that means, magical transfer, the chalois issur on this object is now going to go on to a different object. Wait a minute. A neder is a din in an object. When I created the original issur, the creation of the chalois neder, the moment of truth, when there was a creation, a beria of a chalois issur, did I have the power at that moment to create a chalois issur on his object? Impossible. So now you want me now to take that object and now all of a sudden now it's going to come into my possession? That's like a shavua. Maybe if you want to deal with the legal of shavua, maybe we can find some way we can work with that. But when it comes to a neder always, at the end of the day, has to come down and connect to the object. When I made it, what?
But it's the object. You can't have both ways. You can't say, the object I am now is sorcery. I give it over to Goldberg. Oh, I no longer control it. Oh, it's but the object was also in the me. But now the Yeshiva also left from him.
So Yitzhak is saying very good. He's saying good. You might be correct.
So he's saying,
what happens to the object? Okay, so we have to really understand. You're saying very, very good. I hear what you're saying. Maybe you're talking right. Maybe you're right. Maybe the original. I don't know the answer. I don't know the lumbus. I don't know how chiluf works. I don't know how chiluf. How what happens on the way out? You're right. I don't know the answer. But at least at this moment in time, let's focus on what's coming in. At the moment, you're right. We have to clarify what exactly is the case of chiluf. But on what's coming in right now, the Gemara here is making this suggestion doesn't work because I did not. This is a new object, and this object, when I made my neder, it was not in my rishus. And because the focus of my neder is you, I have no power to prohibit his assets upon you. Now, I prohibited what I have. I want now through this mechanism called chiluf to bring something else into the picture. You're right, as far as going out, I don't know. But I want to bring something new into the equation, in exchange, bring something new in. Too little, too late. If it was in of a shavua that's on the person, okay, but now when it comes to the object, that's the Moshe. Boyer Mochama. Omar, Koinen Peris Eilu Alpoini, Mahu Bechilu Fehen. What is Allah when it comes to the chiluf? Here, look at the words of the Gemara. Me, Amrina, do we say Gabi delay? When it comes to me, now let's look at Hegdish. Let's look at my property. I have Hegdish. I'm Makdish something, and I say I want this to be Hegdish. And now I go and I exchange what I have for something else. Okay? Then I can say that the exchange of what I do for myself, it's awesome. Because I have the power to be makdish everything I have in my possession. Let's say I have in my house 10 objects, and I'm makdish object number 1. If I wanted to, I could have prohibited, I could have been makdish object number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, 8. I could have done whatever I wanted. I chose to prohibit only one object. I have 10 objects. I decide, I made a conscious decision, we're going to go with object number 1. And I did it. And now, I want to exchange 1 for 2. You want to exchange 1 for 2 because you're in the hate. You know why? Because when you made your original neder, if you wanted to, you could have made the neder on number 2 also. On number 3 also. All of those objects were in your ballpark. They were in your world that could have equally been prohibited if you wished. Well, you chose not to. You chose not to. It's your problem. So now when I do a chiluf, I'm just doing anything I had power to do. But here, what I'm doing, I'm over here, it's not me. I'm not the one that's becoming awesome. I'm prohibiting my property to you. Oh, to you. And now I want to go take something else from someone else. The chiluf over here is the case where you're taking an object that I do not own, it seems. A lot of longish parts over here. But Koinan Paris for Ilu, I'll play Mao, Bechilu Fayan. Me, I'm winning. Gabi, delay. If you own assets and you want to go look into your own assets, Hoyle Sins, Odom, Oyser, Paris, Chaveroi, Al Atzmoi, you have the power to prohibit the Paris Chaveroi. Hoyle Sins, the Odom Oyser, Peres chaveroi al atzmai, adam oiser davar shleiboli oilam al atzmai. So let's do the other way around. I did not say it correctly. Let's say, for example, I didn't say the first one correctly. I make a neder that I'm not going to have hanor from your peres. I make a neder, I will not derive benefit from Mr. Rappaport's peiros. I'm awesome. Mr. Rappaport then takes his peiros and does chiluf. You exchange it, I don't know how that works, either onto your own peiros or onto Mr. Goldberg's peiros. So then, it's also for me to have pleasure from the chiluf. You know why? Because when I made the neder that I do not want to have anah, I will not have anah from your peiros, I could have equally prohibited myself from having anah from all of your peiros, other peiros, or from Mr. Goldberg's peiros, or from Mr. Smith's peiros, Mr. Cohen's peiros. I can make also whatever I want. So therefore, if I prohibit peiros of someone else upon me, automatically the chilufeihem, the gidulehem, is going to be also as well. But when I'm now coming to prohibit my peiros upon somebody else, upon someone else, so I'm limited to what I have in my possession. If I need to go to a third party for chiluf, I don't have the power to prohibit a third party upon a second party. I can't do that. That's not in my ballpark.
So it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's, you see what the movie says? Mian, we know, gabe delay. When it comes to me, if I make a neder that I'm not going to have hana from somebody else, hoil since the rule is for Adam Oyser Peros Chavir al Atzmai, Adam Oyser Davashloi Baal, Yoylam al Atzmai. I can go prohibited. He's talking about the second part of the case. It's the same idea. He's talking about Gidulehem. Gidulehem means whatever grows. The growth. Al chaver, but gabi chaver. If I'm coming to prohibit my payros upon somebody else, that's a much more limited application. That's much, much more limited, because what I am able to prohibit upon my friend is only limited to my current assets. I don't have power to prohibit upon someone else anything that's not mine. But al atzmai gabi chaver hoil, since ve'in adam oyser peiros chaver al chaveroi, I cannot prohibit the peiros of chaver al chaveroi. Ein adam oyser davar shloi bol yoylem al chaveroi. Oy dilma, or do we say mishum dichilufin ki gidulin dame loishna? Do we say that chilufin is like kigidulin dami loishna huv loishna chaveroi? It doesn't make a difference. What difference does it make? It's the same. It's a derivative. The prohibition was chal upon an object, and it should not make a difference no matter what. That's the Gemara's dilemma. Okay, what does Rashi over here say? Any Rashi? Don't look at the Rashi. Tap Rashi on the left side. Daf mem zayin or mudbeis. Machi kama the vaday also be chilufayim dum yod the gidulin minu dum the gidulin minu the chiyeh chidosa the gidulin hachi nami also be chilufayim. I don't know what he's saying over here. What does Bach say? Or is Aleph Bach or Dilma the dum yod the gidulin? I'm not sure what he means. Or Dilma, I'm not sure what he means to say. I'm not sure what he means over here, but basically here we say there's no difference. There's no difference. Just like I can prohibit it when I prohibit myself from deriving pleasure from somebody else, it is a given that I'm not allowed to derive pleasure from the chiluf and the gidulin. So when it's vice versa, it should be no different. So the Gemara says, let's see the answer. Toshma, Omar, Rav Achabar, Min Yoyme. Toshma. What does it say over here? Okay, favorite case. A man says to a woman, Koinam Shani Nene Lech. A man says to his wife, I make a koinam, and you are not allowed to have pleasure from me. He goes up against what it says in the Ksuba. What is it in the Ksuba? Va'ano oiker ve'ezoin. What is it in the Ksuba? What does the man promise in the Ksuba? Va'ano eflach, I'm going to work. I can't give it of honor. I'm going to support Rano. Rano Eflach. I've got the whole Musa. I don't know. I don't have one. I don't have one of those. I don't know what it says. It says in this marriage document, it says, I'm going to give honor. I'm going to support. I'm going to provide sustenance to my wife. Now, what happens if a man makes a neder? Then he says to his wife, I got good news for you today. Bad news for you today. I hereby declare making a neder that you, my wife, may not derive pleasure from me in any way whatsoever with a koina. So what is the halacha? So the wife is not allowed to have hanach. So how is she going to live? So the halacha is she goes out into the gemach. And it's a gemach for a special code called a neder gemach. You ever hear about this? A neder gemach. Have all these shoes. The famous gemach, the nether gemach. No, he's not allowed, but he did it anyway. He did it anyway. A lot of things he's allowed to do in this world. It seems it is. I don't know. Good kash, how's the chal? He made a nether. And so what if she goes to the nether gemach? What's the nether gemach? They give her money. They support her. They support her. And they send him the bill. They send him the bill. And if he doesn't pay the bill, they put him in jail. Or beat him up. Or finish him off. He doesn't pay the bill. Oh, what's the kasha? How is he allowed to pay the bill? By paying the bill, in essence, it's chiluf. Just because you create a buffer in the middle, the gemach pays the bills. And the gemach gives her money to support herself, and then the gemach sends a bill to the husband, and the husband writes a check and pays the money. So basically, she is getting sustenance from chiluf. She is having pleasure from the husband. She's not having pleasure directly from the husband because he's not giving her cash. He is giving the cash to an intermediary, and the intermediary is giving her the cash. So what does it solve? If a husband, it seems like it's a very common problem, men get very angry. Men have anger problems. Did you ever have such a thing like that? Ever see such a thing like that? Men have anger problems?
No.
Does it ever exist in the Velt of Matthias? Well, men get angry, and they make a neder. Wife, you're not having, they learn stuff in the daughter, and they make a neder. Wife, you're not allowed to have enough of the karma. So what does she do? She goes to a special
person who
supports her. Who supports her. And the person that supports her goes and sends a bill to the husband for reimbursement.
Yeah.
Because the husband has an obligation to support his wife. He wrote in the ksuba. So he has a shibud. So because the man has a shibud, someone will support her, and the person that will support her will then go to the husband and demand payment. You have to pay. So I supported your wife, and you have to mat neder. So the question is, why? And that's the halacha. Why does that work? Why don't we say that when the husband pays the intermediary, and then the intermediary goes and gives the money to the woman, that's called chiluf. That's called an exchange. That's the equivalent of chiluf. And if chiluf, you're telling me, is going to be also by a neder, that was a whole shayla, chiluf is going to be also, so why should it work? The fact that it does work is a gilui, that chiluf is mutter. And when, even though there's a halach, that if I make a neder, that I am not allowed to have hanah from so-and-so, so-and-so's property. I'm not allowed to have hanah not from that property, not from the chiluf and the gilui. Yeah, that's because I am prohibiting the hanah, the assets upon myself. Because when I made that neder, if I wanted to, I could have prohibited everything in the world. All of the chiluf. But when I make a neder, then you are not allowed to have hanah from me. I'm limited. Because I only have in my possession X, Y, and Z. I don't have in my possession the ganzadel. So my neder is, when I'm coming to a brim, when a man says to a woman, wife, I'm making a neder, you are not allowed to have hanah from me. You may not have enough for me. I can't go prohibit my wife from having hana from the gemach that's going to support her. I just can't allow her to have direct hana from me. But I don't have the power to prohibit her from having hana from the gemach. So now when the gemach goes and supports her, that's permitted. When the gemach now comes and demands payment from me, that's chiluf. Mother.
She got married.
Okay, so therefore we have here a raya, a beautiful raya, in the case of when the person makes a neder, you find that the sister is wife is not allowed to have an offer from a klor raya that chiluf and gidul is mutter. Although chiluf and gidul is also limits, I'm making neder, you may not have enough from you. I may not have enough from you. When I make it, and you may not have enough of it, chiluf and gidul is mutter. That's the word. The word is not a raya. The word is not a raya. Why not? It's not a raya. The Gemara is saying a tremendous chiddush. Maybe you're talking according to that you're right. In this case, you talk to do right. After the fact, bid the avad. And bid the avad, if it already happens, it's mutter. We talk about, you can bring a raya from this sugya, the bid the avad works. That chiluv, but we still want to know, l'chatchila, are you allowed to make such an arrangement? I make a neder that you are not allowed to have enough from. I make a neder that you are not allowed to have enough from me. L'chatchila, are you allowed to be neder from the chilufin? We have a very beautiful raya from the case of the isha of the kedushin of the ksuba that after the fact of a person taka makes a neder of his wife and not to have enough from him, she can get support by somebody else, and that person come and collect the money from me. So you do have a right that b'di'evit after the fact, you have a right that no other way. No other way you can collect. But we still want to know what would the halacha be l'chatchila. You have not succeeded in showing me a case that it's a mutter l'chatchila for a person to go through the process of chilufin to allow someone to whom you made a neder that cannot have enough from you to have enough via the chilufin.
Shukaya.
Thank you for coming to listening to me. Have a wonderful night, thank you. Mr. Goldberg, thank you for coming. Is the Kedai come tonight?
Yeah.
You got something out of this?
Excuse me?
You got something out of tonight, coming tonight?
Yeah, certainly.
Baruch Hashem. Have a good night.
You too.
Good. How's your wife doing?
Thank you. She's
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
So, I'm going to go to the hospital.